Final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this gorgeous Thursday here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe here. Willie Donick is with the team in Vancouver. Tomorrow night it'll be the Predators and the Canucks. A 9 o'clock puck drop. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call. I'll have pregame for you starting at 8 o'clock right here on these airwaves. Let's bring in Elliot Friedman. Sportsnet, 32 thoughts. He does it all. Covers the league in a big blockbuster trade to start off the show today as the Sabres have finally moved Jack Eichel, and he's going to Vegas to join the Golden Knights. They got a haul for him. I've got to be honest. You know, I use the reference, and, you know, it's Vegas, and so pun intended. It seems like quite the gamble for the Golden Knights, but it seems like, Elliot, they were willing to do it.
Well, first of all, Chase, thank you for telling me that, you know, the call was going to voicemail. I wouldn't have been able to answer. I wouldn't have known if you hadn't told me.
No worries.
Well, as somebody said to me, it's very Vegas, right? It's a gamble, and it happened in the middle of the night. Like, they're like, that is a perfect metaphor for, you know, what they just did. You know, guys, I really believe for the last week it was going to be Vegas. You know, I'm in Buffalo today. We taped something with Jack Eichel this morning. And, you know, I had heard that it was going to happen last Friday. And I don't think I was the only reporter who heard that. I know there were a bunch of other guys reporting it, too. And he said he was under that impression, too, that he thought it was going to be last week. I know there were some reports last night about Calgary, but I think this has been Vegas for a little over a week now, and I think the prospect Krebs, Peyton Krebs, is the guy that Buffalo wanted, and once Vegas finally relented and was willing to put him in the deal, I think it was always headed in this direction. And, you know, the one thing about the Golden Knights, you know, it's kind of funny. You either really like them or you really hate them. They're like, I don't have any problem with the way they do things, but there's other people around the league who are like, an expansion team shouldn't be like this. They're not acting like an expansion team. And when a good player becomes available, they're all over it, and they try to find a way. And this time they found a way. And, you know, Eichel's happy. And I think the best thing for everybody is that this is over. It was time for this to be over and time for everybody to move on.
What do you think about their approach? Because there is a salary cap, and they've traded for Pacioretty. They've traded for Mark Stone. They traded for Robin Leonard. They've now traded for Jack Eichel. I mean, they have not been afraid, as you just mentioned and laid out there. And then we know about all the signings, Pietrangelo, and all the big signings that they've had in off seasons. What do you think about this model? Because it kind of feels, to use the NFL, the LA Rams are kind of doing this in the NFL right now. They're just,
yeah, Von Miller.
They're not afraid to, you know, I mean, they're not interested really in draft picks and building things with youth. It's like, we're going to go get Matthew Stafford and trade for him. And then Von Miller, like you said, and trade for Jalen Ramsey and Sony Michel. They're out there acquiring guys that are proven, and they're not interested in draft picks or young guys. How do you think, though? I mean, right now it's working for the Rams. It's been working for Vegas, but can you continue down that path and be successful?
Well, you know, the one thing I think about Vegas is, you know, they seem to have guys they've taken a little bit later. Like, Krebs was taken, what, like 17th overall? And I could be butchering this, but I think he was hurt in his draft year, right, which is the reason he fell. But Vegas, like, when you find a player like that who's taken a little bit later in the first round, and all of a sudden an opponent says, that's the guy we have to have if we're going to make this deal, it says to me that you're doing a good job, and that you have to be able to find picks a little bit later. Like, I think generally it's harder, and certainly I think the odds are that someday you pay the piper. There's no question about that. But it's like when Phil Esposito, the Hall of Famer, used to be the GM of the New York Rangers, he used to make all these trades, and someone said to him, why do you make all these trades? He goes, well, I could be hit by a bus tomorrow, which was always my favorite line. And sometimes I think you're in a mode where you go for it, right? Like, I mean, like, you guys saw it in Nashville. You know, they were, you know, you guys were close, and you went for it. And, you know, your fans could sense how close you were, and you guys could sense how close you were. And, you know, David Poyle's been around a long time. He knows how hard it is. And he just says, you know what, now is our time. You know, now is our window. And I think that that's the way that they look at it, too, for Vegas. Like, they're in a mode now where they're going for it. And it's their time. And, you know, I can never fault that. Like, if I was a fan of a team, I want to know my team is going to be aggressive instead of saying, well, we can't do it. This is how we can do it. And, you know, it's funny. I've been telling the story a couple times today. I woke up at 7:30 Eastern, and I had a text on my phone from 3:05 a.m. saying, better get working. It's coming. And I had another text saying, you know, Vegas is going to ask someone to come down with a hangnail this morning so they can put them on injured reserve and help make this deal. I was kind of laughing about that text. Mm. But that's what you have to do. You have to find ways, and that's what they do.
I just ran this by Willie because he was in Edmonton last night and saw it firsthand. And I wanted to get his take. I ran it by Pete and Hal last night to begin postgame, yep. And now I want to run it by you. So Edmonton yep. won 5-2 last night. You know, imagine that. Draisaitl was unbelievable, pair of goals. Yep. Their power play is off the charts. Connor McDavid, enough said. This is nothing new. Like, McDavid and Draisaitl and Edmonton scoring in the regular season and having success in the regular season is not the issue. Their issue has been once they get to postseason. That's the narrative on the Edmonton Oilers, as you know.
Yep.
And so I'm asking them because it's been a while since we've seen Edmonton, and they got to see them up close and personal. And my question was, okay, do you think, and I know it's still very early on, it's just 9 games in, but down the road, just watching how they've configured this roster, can the narrative change, or is this just going to be a whole lot of what we've seen in years past? How would you answer that?
Well, I think they're deeper. You know, with Hyman there, Zach Hyman and Warren Fogel up front, and some of the guys they've added on defense, I think they're a deeper, deeper team. I think they are better constructed to handle things. You know, the two biggest questions I have about them is, you know, their goalies are older guys. They both have injury histories. Koskinen has a consistency issue at times. Like, Mike Smith last year, their starting goalie, he's, what, 40 years old. He was like an MVP-level player last year. But it's hard for him to stay healthy just because he's 40 years old, and you're asking for a lot. Like, I do wonder if that's the one Achilles heel that I have there. The other thing there, and guys, I apologize. I couldn't watch the game last night. I was driving down to Buffalo. I can't believe how few calls McDavid gets. Like, I really don't like it, and I think it's a big problem. You know, like the NBA mentality is protect the stars. The NHL mentality is we want this to be a hard game. And I really don't mind that in a lot of ways, but I think he is way too unfouled, or at least uncalled. It's like in football, you could call holding on every play. You don't do it, but you could. But you have to make some calls. Like, it's amazing to me how few calls he gets, and it actually really bothers me, and I wish it would stop, because you can't stop that guy in open ice legally very often, if at all. And I think Edmonton and their power play is so good, I think they should be getting even more power plays, because he's getting fouled, you know, 15 times a game.
I shudder to think what that would look like if they got way more power play chances. Because Elliot, as you know, we were looking at the stats. They're close to 50% this year, and more impressively, they're about at 30% for about two plus seasons now. The last two full seasons plus this one. That's incredible. And here's what people were saying to us, Elliot, last night in the press box. And this is the first time we've seen them. And of course, the last time the Predators played the Oilers was the night of the tornado in Nashville, but each of those guys had 5 points. Draisaitl had 4 goals.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So, so those guys have just absolutely eaten the Predators' lunch here recently. So maybe we're a little biased, but what everybody was saying was that as good as they were a couple years ago, they're even better now. They're still pretty young, and they're learning some of the subtleties. They're working on their weaknesses. That's always the impressive thing, and that's what you find with the greatest players, right? They keep trying to get better.
Yes, and both those guys, and I agree with you 1,000%, and also those two guys are really driven. Like McDavid, you know, in Edmonton, they kind of joke he's really humorless publicly, and he kind of is. He is apparently a really funny person privately, but it doesn't come across publicly. And the reason is that they've lost too much. Like he doesn't want to talk about, you know, how good he is or what kind of numbers he's got while they, you know, they can't get out of the first round of the playoffs. Like any great player losing, it just pisses them off. And I think Draisaitl's wired the same way. And I think they're determined to get better. They're really competitive guys. They lead properly, not only by how good they are, but how much they get better. And, if you had those two guys as your cornerstones of your team, you'd feel really good.
Well, Elliot, I got to tell you, I don't think I've ever seen a guy move the way that McDavid moves. He made a couple of plays last night where he's moving so fast, your only choice is to really back off, right? So I'm curious what you hear from people, how they try to defend him. Because you mentioned, if you try to get physical with him and do those things, that's what has worked, I guess, in the playoffs. You just hope they don't call the penalties. And I saw more of the Predators last night trying to just sit back and try not to give up anything easy. But there's almost no way that you can stop him.
Well, first of all, it's like he's more coordinated on his skates than most of us are on our feet, which is 100%. Kind of a problem if you really think about it. But, you know, I think the thing that a lot of people say is, and it's easier said than done, it's really hard to do, is you can't let him get the puck in a place where he can pick up speed. You know, sometimes you have to make sure the puck doesn't get to him in the first place. Other times you know they're going to be looking for him, and you say, we have to make sure we've got someone there that just says, okay, I'm in your way, so you can't get going with the head of steam. Basically, the right answer is, like, if the puck's in their end and they're coming up the ice, you can't let them get it. Because if you do, there's no legal way to stop them. And that goes back to what we were just talking about a couple of minutes ago. When he gets the head of steam going, people just foul him. And, you know, geez, if I was coaching, I would do the same thing. Like, just tackle him if you have to. But they got to call the penalties. And, like, you know, last year in the playoffs, there wasn't a single penalty called against him. Like, nobody did anything to him and got called for it. And, like it's ridiculous. They played four games, and they deserved to lose that series. Winnipeg was the better team. But, like, you can't watch those games and tell me there was no penalty in four games. It's crazy. It shouldn't be allowed to happen.
All right, Elliot, I had heard this rumor. I know you and Jeff Merrick love talking about these things on your podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you with one and see if you ever heard this back in the day. Now, Ryan Johansson, as we know, was traded straight up for Seth Jones. Johansson, Vancouver native. He's in his home grounds here. He's had a pretty good start to the season. But back in the day, I heard a rumor that the Predators offered Seth Jones for Leon Draisaitl at the time, and this was 2014. This was 2014-15 season.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit before we knew who Draisaitl was, really. He was an emerging star, but he had not hit his stride yet. Had you ever heard that one? And the Oilers obviously said no. And I think they offered something like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Had you ever heard that?
Well, we did know that Edmonton and Nashville were talking about a Seth Jones deal. I can't remember if I know. I can't remember if I know the specific particulars. I definitely heard Nugent Hopkins much more than Draisaitl. I believe that to be true. The way you explain it, I would believe it to be true, but I can't say 100%.
There you go, Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, here with us. Joins us every Thursday at 1:00. So as we sit here and we drool over teams that look really good right now, one that I have been paying attention to was in the Predators division last year in Carolina. But why do you think this has worked so well with Freddie Anderson, even though it's just 9 games in, but just he's been lights out for them?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think they're really good. They were in this. Like, there were three teams, I think, at the end that were still trying. and one was Calgary in addition to Vegas, and the other, I think, was Carolina. Like, they were around this. But I know one of the things they talked about was they could have something really special going this year. I mean, they're off to a perfect start so far, and they didn't want to screw around with that too much. And I think that's part of it. I think those guys have really bought into the culture their coach wants to create. They really believe in their coach. They think he's in it with them. And any time you think that, I think it makes a good team even better. They've got really good underrated players, and they've got a real belief in their sense of team. And so that makes any goaltender better. You know, I'll tell you this. There were some people really worried about Anderson before the season because he was hurt last year in Toronto, which is why he lost the number one job. And it took him a long time to get back on the ice this offseason. Like, he just had to get healthy. So he started skating and preparing later than he normally does. And some people were worried about that. But maybe the extra rest was good. Like, he's a good goalie. I think the question about him has always been, like, the high-pressure moments. Some people are better than others when it comes to handling that. And, you know, if you know anybody who's played or been with them in Anaheim or at times in Toronto, they've said that, you know, in those moments, he battles at handling them. So I think that's going to be the question, because Carolina is obviously going to play in big games this year. Is he going to be able to handle that better than he has in the past?
Well, I would say one of those big games is coming up Saturday, because the Hurricanes are undefeated. The Panthers have the one overtime loss, but they've won eight. And obviously we know the things that have gone on with Florida and the coaching change and Andrew Brunette taking over. But, I mean, I think that's kind of a measuring stick game for either team.
Yes, I think it's a pretty good little rivalry. I don't think those two teams like each other very much. So that adds another level to it. Should be a great game. It won't be on hockey night, so I don't know how much I'll be watching, but I'll definitely have one eye on it.
Why is Andrew Brunette the, you know, obviously they were faced with this. This wasn't anything that they were planning to have to do. But Andrew Brunette, the former Predator, was in the league for a long time. Original Predator scored the first goal.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, but why does he fit this so well of being able to try and navigate a really good team through a tough situation?
Well, I think in this moment, like, first of all, as you guys kind of said, like, this situation gets kind of thrown on you, and you know you're scrambling, right? And if you take a look at it, you know, when the Bill Peters thing came out, Calgary handled that themselves. This one was more up to the league. I think Florida was hoping against hope that there would be some kind of way that Quenneville could still coach. You know, I just think in that moment, you go to the person who you think is, you know, best prepared to hold your group together. And you guys know Brunette well. He's a very popular guy. He's a very positive guy. And, you know, you're sitting there, you're unbeaten, and all of a sudden this is dropped on your lap. And it's really, in a lot of ways, got nothing to do with you. And you need someone who's going to hold your group together. And I just think they felt that Brunette was that guy. And, you know, I don't know where this is going to go here. I don't know if he's going to keep the job for the rest of the year or they're going to hire someone else. But I just think they wanted somebody who would have the best possible attitude in an incredibly challenging time. And you guys know Brunette and how he handles that.
Well, we also know you, and you do a great job every week, and we appreciate it. So thanks as always.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. Have a great week.
You too. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet joins us every Thursday at 1. It's fantastic hockey conversation, and you don't want to miss it. We'll come back with much more here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.